This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to all of you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Do you have a biblical conviction that can be difficult to share with others because it makes them feel uncomfortable? Well, with all that Jesus has done for us, we should be excited to talk about him. Stay with us today as we study a biblical text to help us grow more bold in speaking God's Word.
Why are Christians so hesitant to say a good word for Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We hope you'll continue to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have done so much for us. There are so many ways that you have changed our lives. And yet we are hesitant sometimes to share those good things with others. Help us to understand from the preaching of your word, from the text that stands before us, why that is possible. And then, O God, may your Holy Spirit use those words to lead us to be more bold and to say that your word is truth. Then sanctify us in your truth. Amen. Friends in Christ, people have sometimes asked me, can you point out the time in your ministry when you were the most nervous speaking to a group of people? And that has not been a difficult question to answer. The first sermon that I ever preached in my home congregation was the time that I was more nervous than any other. Strange it is, for it was not a large congregation, and the people who were there listening to my first sermon with all of its flaws were lovely people. They had supported me all the way through my education. They had prayed for me. They had taught me. And they had even from time to time given to me generously of a monetary means. But I had my friends right there with me. However, as I got into the pulpit and looked down over the congregation, who did I see? I saw my parents, uncles, aunts, cousins. We had known one another for a long time, and they were there to hear him preach. But there were also friends who were there. I'd gone to school with them, played sports with them, played in the band with them, did all kinds of things, went ice skating with them, even went ice skating with some of the girls. It was a fun time to be there with them, except I was so very, very nervous. I'm sure they thought they knew me like I knew them, but today I was sharing with them some strong spiritual convictions. And this was different. As I told him about Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and the only one whereby we could enter the kingdom of heaven. I have wondered that a long time, why that was the point of most nervousness. But through the course of time, I have learned probably the right answer for that. And Tom Wright, the British theologian, has given me a great deal of help when he says that preaching is something dangerously public that emerges from something entirely private. Now, let me say this to you again, because this is the hub of my sermon. Preaching is something dangerously public that emerges from something entirely private. This sharing of the spiritual convictions sometimes make people uncomfortable. And if they're uncomfortable, then it's only evident that we'll be uncomfortable too and nervous. The question could be, is this also possibly why some people have difficulty sharing their faith in Christ as a Lord and Savior of the world? The faith is so personal that they are uncomfortable to share these convictions with others. For example, we're in a group and we're going to invite people to pray for a particular cause that is on the hearts of all of us. Some people simply cannot pray. They'll say, I just can't pray out loud with other people. Strange, because otherwise they are very, very good members of the church, very audible in whatever they feel is the right and the wrong. But when it comes to praying, no, I'm going to leave that to somebody else. When I would find people with marriage problems, and I would begin to talk with them about their lives together, one of my first questions was, how is your prayer life together? Tell me a little bit about it. And more times than not, they said to me, we do not pray together. I'd say to them, you've been married now for 12 years. Haven't you developed any kind of prayer life at all? No. We have never really prayed together. Oh, we might have memorized a table prayer that we said once in a while. But really to get down and bear the innermost things of our soul with one another, no, we haven't done that. In your marital difficulties that now bring you either to share your voice with an attorney or with the Lord Jesus Christ, can't you share that? What is it that really you feel is causing us to not continue to live together? They knew it. They could say it to me, but to lift our eyes to God, even there they couldn't. Now have they all of this time that the problem was going on. Does Tom Wright have something there when he says preaching or witnessing or sharing with a loved one is sometimes so dangerously public that it emerges from something entirely private? I've got something inside of me, and that is exactly what I am dealing with. I can't voice it. Now, I'm going to apply that to the text that we have today. The text is found in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, where Mark says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. A bit later on in the text, I want to turn you over to the book of Luke, where they deal with the treatment that they gave to Mark. Certainly he was not going to preach to a group of people who were all supporters of his. His audience was entirely different from those lovely people in my congregation who were doing everything to encourage me to move on to be a pastor and proclaim this word. Now we have this situation where Jesus, you know, is the God-man. True, he is God. God has sent him into the world as a part of the Trinity. And there he is to suffer and to die as a payment for the sins of the world and grant us the assurance that if we will but trust in him, we can have life everlasting and he will walk with us while we are here. But he is also true man. And that means that somehow or other, could there have been a time that Jesus had to just pull out of this God-man relationship and realize that I am a human being? I think so. And this was probably those 30 years in coming to its peak when he saw what he was able to do, what the Father's power had given to him, and what his complete mission was on this earth. However, during those first 30 years, it was in the process of coming. And so when he got to be a boy of some stature, he went and worked in his foster father's carpenter shop. Joseph had done well by Jesus. He had stood with Mary, though he had not given the seed that caused Jesus to come into the world. This was done by the Holy Spirit himself. Joseph was there and played every bit the part of a father. When Jesus' life was at stake, he took the son and the mother and they fled to Egypt. Things like that that were not easy. He was with him in Jerusalem and he saw him sitting among the elders of the church and asking them questions and giving them answers. He was all that. But now he had spent these 30 years there. If you had visited some townspeople and would have asked him, do you know Jesus? And he said, sure, he's a lovely young man. We think the world of him. He's a good carpenter too. And then on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue to worship with the rest of the Jewish people. But on this particular Sunday, our text tells us, Jesus stood up, and if we turn now to the Gospel of Luke, we see that it is showing to us what the setting really was. Full of the Holy Spirit then, he sat there and he picked up the scroll, and he began to read from the prophet Isaiah. And then he says to them, that all this has come to be fulfilled in your midst today. Now he was standing before them, might we say, in the pulpit. And he was saying to them, I am the Son of God and the Savior of the world. The literal words were, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Put that all together and he was announcing to them, I am far more than a carpenter here in Nazareth. I am not only man, I am God. I am the Messiah who has come. As they pushed him for answers, he gave them to him. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. I am telling you who I am. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But they asked, Isn't that Joseph's son? Jesus said to them, Surely you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what you have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the skies were shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman himself. And at that particular point, where he had gone over some Old Testament history with them, it says here in the 28th verse of the 4th chapter of Luke, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard it. They got up and drove him out of town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right away through them and went his own way. I tell you, friend, at that particular time, you have a lot of questions that you could have asked. What was Jesus like at the age of 25? Nobody surmised that he was a son of God and the Savior of the world there in Nazareth. They all thought he was that great young man who stood in their midst. But when he began to say, I am the Christ, they drew very, very uncomfortable. And they were going to get rid of him. Now, that's when a statement comes back to me from this good commentator of the day, preaching is sometimes dangerously public that emerges from something entirely private. Jesus had kept this very private within him, that who he was. But then that day came, and all were uncomfortable, and some of them were so angry because they thought that probably he was the head of a cult and had to be done away with. But Jesus Christ had to proclaim that truth, and that is how his ministry really started among his hometown people. So it is not difficult to say that probably one of the most difficult places to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ can be right among your best friends, because this has been all hidden from them. Oh, it hasn't been hidden that you were a Christian, but it's something else different to stand in their midst and say, look, this is true. Believe this and you'll go to heaven. Do not believe this and you're lost. Who are you to say this? Has something happened to him? Whether it be Jesus telling them that he was the Son of God and the Messiah of the world, or it was you sharing your faith in Jesus Christ was a good friend. The reaction can still be the same. What then shall we say about this problem of communicating the faith that is with us? Shall we quit? Shall we say, no, it's best to keep your friends and let your faith abide within you? It might even be better to let your marriage go to pieces than to begin to call God into this situation and say, God, here is our difficulty. We have tried everything. We have tried ourselves. We have tried our friends. We have tried professional counselors. But we haven't tried you. Lord Jesus, here we are. Point out to us where we have wronged one another. And the other spouse says, yes, do that, Lord Jesus. And then we sit and wait for God to guide and direct us in His Word to give us the answer, to say, I am responsible for this marriage breaking up. Bring it back together again. But oh, that has been so quiet. And now it is so public. I have nothing else to share. That is all of it. In our testimony, not from a pulpit if you're a lay person, as you walk among your friends, to be able to say to them, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And your friend might say to you, how dare you say that? Look at all the other religions of our day. This can't be true. And suddenly there's a wall that begins to build up. And there's a difference in relationship between you and that friend. Why? Because now you have shared with that friend that which was so secret, but now has become so public. He is the only way of salvation. He is the only way that the sins can be forgiven. He is the only one who can be our comfort and our stay. That which made us uncomfortable to do is one of the greatest challenges in serving our Lord. But let me tell you this. There is today no place that I would rather go and preach the gospel to that smaller group of people than to my own home congregation. For I know that we share a common faith and we have a common destiny. Don't let your terror cause you to be silent. You can get over it by God's grace and help and be a shining light and a living witness to that Savior who gave His all for you, but also knows what you have gone through, for He too was sometimes terrified at what His people could do to Him. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, grant that that word that has come to us from our friend in Christ, Tom Wright. Preaching is sometimes dangerously public that emerges from something entirely private. May help us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that not only preaching, but being on a one-to-one basis and sharing with people what your Son, the Lord Jesus, has done for us, may suddenly come from our lips, because we have, by your grace, overcome that which was so private, and let it be known publicly. For you have placed us here not just to walk among the people, but to walk among them, and whenever there is an opportunity, to publicly tell them of Jesus. Give us that peace and grace and strength to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that you have been strengthened in your faith walk to speak the truths of God's Word to others around us. If you are searching for a way to honor someone close to you, why not make a contribution to Christian Crusaders in their name? An honorarium gift is a gift in honor of someone special who is living, while a memorial gift can be given for a loved one who has passed away. These types of gifts can be made in any amount and given to remember a birthday, anniversary, or any occasion at all. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call us to find out more about how to make this special gift. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you have a neighbor or friend who might benefit from our program, we encourage you to share Christian Crusaders with them. By acting as a lighthouse for others, the Holy Spirit can use your words to have hope to guide them in their walk with the Lord. For a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Or you can visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to download free versions of today's program and many others. Requests may be made to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you to join us again next week on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.